بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال: أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عشر عشرة، فقام رجل من الأنصار فقال: يا نبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، من أكيس الناس وأحزم الناس؟ قال: أكثرهم ذكرا للموت، وأكثرهم استعدادا للموت، أولئك الأكياس، ذهبوا بشرف الدنيا وكرامة الآخرة. رواه ابن أبي الدنيا والطبراني في الصغير بإسناد حسن. عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما is the narrator of this hadith. عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma reports, he narrates, and he says, أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, I came in the company of Nabi صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, عاشر عشرة, عشر عشرة, 10 of us came in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I was also from amongst the 10. I was the 10th of the 10. This is the literal translation. عشر عشرة, 10th of the 10. So 10 of us came in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقَامَ رَجُلٌ مِنَ الْأَنْصَارِ, and a person from the Ansar got up from his place and he asked, he said, فَقَالَ يَا نَبِيَّ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, oh the Prophet of Allah, oh the Nabi of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, من أكيس الناس وأحزم الناس, who is the most clever of the people, and who is the most precocious from amongst people, who is the most careful from amongst the people. Who is the most clever from amongst the people? And who is the most careful from amongst the people? Who is the most precocious from amongst the people? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قَالَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ ذِكْرًا لِلْمَوْتِ وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ إِسْتِعْدَادًا لِلْمَوْتِ, those who remember death frequently, those who remember death the most, and those who prepare for death the most, أُولَٰئِكَ الْأَكْيَاسِ, these are the clever people. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is being asked by a sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who is the most clever person, or which group of people is the most clever, who are the clever people, And who are the careful people, precautious people? Which is that group which protects itself from every harm? Very careful. No harm should come to me. Very, very precautious. No loss should come to me. So two questions were asked. Man akiyasun nas? Who is the most clever of the people? Which category of people can be called very clever? He is very clever, he is very clever, he is very clever. This group is very clever. This party is very clever. These people are very clever. And who are those people who can be categorized as the most careful of the people? Very, very precautious people who stay away from every harm, who stay away from every loss. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam gave a very simple answer. Those people who remember death the most, and those people who prepare for death the most, they are the clever people. They are the most clever people. Because those people who remember death the most, and those people who prepare for death the most, they will obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those people who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those people who do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them the benefits of this world and the benefits of the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save them from the loss in this world, and Allah will save them from the loss in the hereafter. So they are the clever people. They are the people who are very careful. They are the people who are very precautious. Most precautious. Ulaika lakiyas. They are the clever people. Zahabu bisharafid dunya wa karamatil akhirah. They are clever because they have not only benefited in this world. They are clever because they have not benefited only in the hereafter. They are clever because they have benefited in this world and also in the hereafter. They have adopted that path which brings honor in this world, honor in the hereafter. Success in this world, success in the hereafter. Nobility in this world, nobility in the hereafter. Comfort in this world, comfort in the hereafter. Peace of mind in this world, peace of mind in the hereafter. Tranquility of the heart in this world, tranquility of the heart in the hereafter. Happiness in this world, happiness in the hereafter. Pleasure in this world, pleasure in the hereafter. They have adopted this path, which guarantees all these ni'mats, all these bounties. And what is this path? Remembering death frequently and preparing for the death. Continually remembering death, continually preparing for the death. Because the one who remembers death, he will be able to control his base desires. A person is able to go against his nafs. Allah has granted each person the ability to go against his nafs. Allah has given each person the strength to fight his nafs and to oppose his nafs. Every person, Muslim, non-Muslim, drug addict, a person who is alcoholic, a person who is drowned in sin, every person has the ability to oppose his nafs. He is led to believe by nafs and shaitan that he does not have the ability. But he has the ability. For example, a person will say that, no, I do not have the ability to oppose my nafs at the time of Fajr. I cannot get out of bed. I've tried. I can't. I just can't. I put on the alarm. The alarm rings. I switch the alarm off and go to sleep again. My wife wakes me up. I wake up. But I just don't have the ability to oppose my nafs. I can't come out of bed. How can you say I have the ability? I know myself. I just don't have the ability. I know myself. If you do not have the ability to get up and perform salat, salatul fajr, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should not ask you on the day of Qiyamah why you did not perform Salatul Fajr. Because Allah is not zalim. He does not oppress people. He is just. He will only question you that why did you not perform Salatul Fajr? Because He knows that you had the ability. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us regarding all the sins we are engaged in at this precise moment, thinking that I do not have the ability to fight my nafs, that means Allah will oppress us on the day of Qiyamah. A person will only question and punish a person if he believes that he has the ability. And Allah does not believe, Allah knows. Allah has ilm. He is Alim, He is Khabir. So if Allah will question us on the day of Qiyamah, then why could you not control your gaze? Why didn't you control your gaze? Why didn't you save yourself from watching films? Why did you not save yourself from listening to music? Why did you not control your desires and stay away from adultery, fornication? If Allah will question us and Allah will punish us for these actions, that means we have the ability. If I have two sons, one is able to see, one is blind, he is unable to see. And if I tell both of them, look at me, the blind son, his eyes are closed. And the one who is able to see, he doesn't open his eyes, he closes his eyes when I say, look at me. I will get angry on the son whose eyes are perfect. I will not get angry on the son who is blind. Because I know he does not have the ability to carry out my command. And if he does not have the ability to carry out my command, he is not disobeying me. A person will only punish, a person will only question if he believes, if he knows that this person has the ability to do this and despite having the ability, he is not doing it. So all these sinful activities that we carry out on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will question us. And Allah will only question us if He has the knowledge that we have the ability to do so. We all have the ability to carry out the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where we do not have ability, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us liberty. If you are unable to stand up in salat, if you are unable to carry out the fard of qiyam, then sit down. Sit down and perform salat. If you are unable to perform wudu for whatever reason, you do not have the ability to perform wudu, then perform tayammum. If you cannot perform ruku and sajda,
in its correct posture, then indication will be sufficient. Indication of sajda will be sufficient. If you are unable to fast in the month of Ramadan because of valid reason, you don't have the ability, then you don't have to fast in the month of Ramadan. We all have the ability to carry out the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan and nafs makes us believe that I do not have the ability. If I believed that I had the ability to wake up for Fajr Salat, every day I would put up a fight against shaitan and nafs. Yes, there is a possibility that I may win or I may lose, but I would put up a fight every day. And I would make life slightly difficult for shaitan and nafs, because they have to fight every day at Fajr time. But if I accept that I don't have the ability, I will not put up a fight. So nafs and shaitan don't have to do anything. So this is the easier route that they take, that they make us believe, I don't have the ability, so I don't put up a fight. I don't have the ability to control my gaze. Finished. The battle is won by shaitan and nafs. We have lost forever now, for months, for years, because we will never put up a fight. And putting up the fight is mujahada. Putting up the fight is mujahada. So if I believe that I have the ability to wake up for Fajr Salat, it's my sheer laziness that I don't do so. So tomorrow I'm going to wake up. So I will make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah help me. Because I know I can do it and I want to do it. If I believe that I can't do it, I will not make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because I don't have the intention to wake up for Fajr. So if we believe that I can, I have the ability, so we will say, oh Allah, save me from nafs. Oh Allah, save me from shaitan. Oh Allah, make it easy for me. Oh Allah, make me obey you. Oh Allah, I do not want to remain your disobedient servant. Make me obedient. Oh Allah, help me. He will acquire the barakat of dua, inshallah, because he is praying. But he will only pray if he believes. A student who believes that I can pass my examinations, he will revise, he will try. And he will also make dua before going to the examination room. But if a student believes that, no, I haven't done anything throughout the year, and I have no chance, I have no ability, he will neither revise nor make dua to Allah, because he's already accepted it. That, no, I can't pass. So what's the point of making dua? It's a very, very important point to remember, my friends. It is my desire for myself also, and for all you, my brothers, my sisters, listening at home, my friends. It is my desire that inculcate this thought, embed this thought in your hearts and minds, that I have the ability to carry out each and every command of Allah, and because I have the ability, inshallah, I will. If not today, then tomorrow. If not tomorrow, the day after, I will. Because I have the ability. I have the ability to carry out each and every command of Allah, and I will. The person who is led to believe that I cannot, number one, he will not make dua. Number two, he will not try. He will not put up a fight. And this putting up a fight is mujahada. For example, alarm, tell the wife, tell mother, tell brother, tell sister, please wake me up. Effort. And when the person wakes up, when the eyes open, mujahada, I want to get up, I must get up. You see, mujahada. But then he dozes off to sleep. But there was the mujahada of a few seconds. Intention, which was a bitter intention. I want to get up, I must get up, I want to perform. I'll get up after 5 minutes. This mujahada strengthens the nafs and the heart more. So daily, the nafs and the heart is getting nutrition, small nutrition. Dua is bringing nutrition. And a time will come when the heart will become strong and nafs will go towards becoming lawwama and mutmainna. And this person will be able to wake up for Fajr Salat. In the initial stages, he will perform one fajr per week. Slowly, slowly, two fajr per week, three fajr per week. Mujahada will increase. His spiritual health will increase. Shaitan and nafs makes us believe that this is something I can't do. This is something for the religious people, not for me. I can't. I've tried before. I've tried to save God myself from evil gaze and lawful gaze. I can't. I am able to control my gaze for 10 days and then I sleep. Shaitan making us believe this. We all have the ability. Let me give you an example. Those of us who are involved in unlawful gaze, looking at non-mahram ladies here and there, looking at non-mahram ladies in magazines, newspapers, looking at non-mahram ladies on the internet, electronic media, print media, looking at non-mahram ladies. And we believe that this is something I can't do. I can't. I don't have the ability. I am not pious enough. My iman is weak. When on the internet, if your wife was sitting next to you, would you do the same thing? Or would you be able to control yourself? The photo that you are looking at in the newspaper or in the magazine or on the poster outside, if your wife was standing with you and looking at you, looking towards your eyes, would you have been able to control yourself? The answer is yes. I would have been able to control myself. So where has this ability come from? You are unable to wake up for Fajr Salah. If you are sleeping in the masjid at Fajr time, same time you go to sleep at 12 o'clock at home, go to sleep 12 o'clock here in the masjid. Would you have been able to wake up or not? Where did this ability come from? So the ability to wake up is there. The ability to control the gaze is there. But we have been misled by Shaitan to believe we don't have the ability. So in order to push oneself towards using this ability, there are two things. One is incentive. Some incentive, some benefit that you see. And second is fear. Incentive, if I wake up for Fajr Salat and go to perform Salat in the masjid, somebody will give me £100. So until yesterday, I don't have the ability. Suddenly you hear in the evening, that if you go to perform Fajr Salat at the Islamic Dawah Academy with Jamaat, there is a person who gives £100. We suddenly find that we have the ability. We had this ability yesterday, the day before yesterday. We've always had this ability. But we could not realize that we have this ability until we were given some incentive. That this will happen. You will get this. Or fear factor. If you do not go to perform Salat with Jamaat, then somebody is keeping the register, and by this date, you will have to pay £100 to somebody. This is the law of this country. For missing one Salat, you have to give £50. Fear factor. Now again we will start performing Salat. We have the ability, my friend, to do everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to do. But everything that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has promised us, if you do this, you will get this. If you do this, you will get this. If you do this, you will... We are not interested in those incentives. So incentive will not work. You will get Jannat, you will get this, you will get that, you will get so many rewards. No, not important. So there is only one factor, fear factor. We need to use the fear factor. If I don't perform Salat, what if I die while sleeping at Salat time? What will happen to me in the grave? If I go in the hereafter without becoming a musalli, becoming a regular performer of Salat, what will happen to me in the grave? What will happen to me when I stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah? What will happen to me when I have to cross the Sirat? How will I bear the pain of punishment in Jahannam? A person will realize that, yes, I can't do it. It is for this reason the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the most clever people and the most precautious and most careful people are those who remember death frequently. Because when people remember death, they are able to realize their ability to obey Allah, and they obey Allah. They obey Allah. And when they obey Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them the comforts in this world and also comforts in the hereafter. See, one thing we have to remember, my friend. There are two different things. Comfort and the sources of comfort. This person who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may not have the sources of comfort, but Allah will grant him comfort. A person may think to himself that how can you say that Allah will grant the comforts of this world and the comforts of the hereafter when we see so many people disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with more bigger houses than mine, more better facilities than me, more riches than me, more wealth than me, and I'm doing everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked me to do. Yes, they have the resources of comfort, but not comfort. With all the riches they have, they cannot sleep at night. And we, because we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we may not have the resources of comfort, but we will have comfort inshallah. The first time I went to India, I was walking in a very busy street, very busy road. I was walking on a very busy road in Bombay. At around 11:30, 12 o'clock, 12:30 in the afternoon. For me, it was quite hot. Because I was from a cold country. So many cars going, coming, so many vehicles. Noise of horns all the time. Indian culture on the road, all the time horns, horns, horns. It was a very busy road. A busy road of Bombay. Well-known road. So very busy road, vehicles all the time coming, going with noise of horns. And on the footpath, dozens of people walking, coming from both directions. Hue and cry everywhere, and heat in the afternoon, heat of the afternoon. And I saw a person, yes, and there was building work going on. And the area was surrounded by fencing. The builders had put up a fence for safety. And I saw a person with a bed sheet, dirty bed sheet, not even clean, with a bed sheet covered from head to toe against that fencing, and he was sleeping at 12:30 on that busy road, on that busy footpath. So I said to the people with me, I said, look, he does not have a single source of comfort, but Allah has granted him comfort. He does not have a single source of comfort, but Allah has granted him comfort. He is sleeping. The mistake we are making, my friend, is we are striving for the sources of comfort. I want a good house. And in order to have a good house, I must have money. So work, 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 earn, earn. I want a good fridge freezer. Fridge freezer is a source of comfort. A good house is a source of, it is a means. Zari'ah, wasila. Air condition, a means. A source. Fan, a source. Heating, a source. It cannot give you comfort. Bed, mattress, good pillows, good food, source of comfort. Not, it's not necessary you will get comfort. There are people in the world who enjoy warm water. For us, it's warm water because they live in village. They work in villages, in farms. No fridge freezer. So at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the water is warm. For us, it's warm. But they find more comfort and more enjoyment when drinking that water than we find in drinking cold water from the fridge. Comfort does not depend on the source. Comfort comes direct from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are people in the world who eat bread, Indian bread, chapati, or Arabic bread, thick chapati. Chapati and yogurt. Only chapati and yogurt. Afternoon, evening, afternoon, chapati, yogurt, chapati, yogurt, chapati, yogurt. There are people who eat chapati and tomatoes. There are people who eat chapati and cucumber. That's their food. Chapati and onion, raw onions. During Hajj time, you see poor people, when you come out from the Haram Sharif after the Isha Salat, then you see people sitting on the footpath. They quickly buy a chapati, and they buy yogurt, or they buy a cucumber and cut it into pieces. And they are having their supper. Poor people who come for Hajj. They don't have resources. I have seen this many times during Hajj. What they do is, after Isha, they come out quickly. Their accommodation is 2, 3, 4, 5 kilometers away from Haram. So if they go to their accommodation, they cannot perform Ibadah. So they come out of Haram very quickly. Light food, chapati, cucumber, chapati, yogurt. They make istinja, perform wudu and go back into the Haram. If you stand there and you watch them eat, their facial expression tells you that this person is enjoying this food more than I enjoy kebab and chicken at home. Why? Because comfort comes direct from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not in need of kebab or biryani to give satisfaction. Allah can give satisfaction through onion also. And Allah can satiate a person without food. There are so many people who after earthquake are dragged out of the rubble after 5 days, after 6 days, after 7 days. Medical professionals cannot explain how this person is alive with so many illnesses, sugar, blood pressure, 70 years of age, and for 5 days under the rubble, he is still alive. Allah can give comfort without food also. So I was saying, friends, comforts of this world and the hereafter is in following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. So if we remember death, that one day I have to die, I have to go in the grave,
I have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How fortunate are those people who have come into this world, who have lived a life of piety, and who have gone from this world as believers with iman. We feel sorry for them. When people die, we feel sorry for them. Oh, he's gone. No, we should feel sorry for ourselves. We should worry about ourselves. That person who has gone has become successful. He had come into this world to go into the real world. And alhamdulillah, he has managed to go into the real world with the certificate of iman. Now he will go in Jannah. He is not in that grave. He is not in that ditch that we have put him in. For him, at this precise moment, it is a garden from the gardens of paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken him from this world with iman. We should worry about our iman. He has already seen Malakul Maut. We have to worry about ourselves that we still have to face Malakul Maut. He has already made his abode in Jannah. We still have to worry about it. So when a person thinks about death, that one day Malakul Maut will come and extract my ruh, I will ask him only for 5 minutes. He will say, no, sorry. I will ask him for 5 seconds. He will say, no. I will be in this room, my wife in the other room, and I will say, just say, let me say, fi amanillah to my, no. I just need to sign one thing, no. I just need to do just one sajda, no. Inna ajalallahi idha jaa la yuakhar. When the time decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arrives, it will not be deferred even for a second. That time is to come. What if that time comes now? Let us all ask ourselves. Looking at our lives, looking at our sinful activities, looking at our disobediences towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if that time was to come now, before leaving this masjid, or whilst walking home, or tonight when we are sleeping, how will we face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If we make a little mistake, just one mistake, just one small mistake, just one small mistake, and we turn our faces from our father or our mother because we made that mistake and we don't go. And we are forced to go to our father or our mother that, no, you have to come, dad is calling you. Mom is calling you, you have to. Come. We are unable to see our father or our mother eye to eye. Our head is lowered like this, out of shame. Only one mistake, small mistake. And even if our father says, beta, don't worry, people make mistakes, it happens, don't worry. Still then we are shameful. If we continue to live the life the way we are living, how will we face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And when our books are opened, yawma tubla sarair, when our books are opened, how will we show our faces to people? At the moment you are all sitting in front of me, and you are seeing me as a muallim teaching you, as a teacher teaching you, as a sheikh teaching you, as an ustad teaching you. Your gaze is towards me full of respect. I have to ask myself that the filth that I see in my life, if that filth continues, and when my book of deed is open in front of these people, how will I be able to show them my face? Our children, our wives, our relatives, our friends, those who look up to us, those who look at us respectfully. Death is to come. Malakul Maut will extract our ruh. Qabr is to come. For ages and ages we will have to remain in the Qabr. Scorpions, snakes, fire. On the day of Qiyamah, we will be drowning in our own perspiration and sweat. Our book of deeds will be open. Reckoning will take place. We'll have to cross the Sirat if we are thrown in the fire of hell. If we continue to think about death, what will happen after death, then we will be able to prepare for the death. We will be able to do good. And if we do good, we will be saved from calamities in this world and also in the hereafter. We will be granted the comfort in this world and also in the hereafter. So who could be more cleverer than us? Who could be more precocious than us? Who could be more careful than us? Ulaika al-akiyas, dhahabu bi sharafi dunya wa karamati al-akhirah. These are the people who will go away with the honor of this world and the nobility of the hereafter. So let us make a firm resolution, my friend, that inshallah, we will remember death. When people discuss death, we will listen to it carefully. We will not brush the thought of death aside. Ya sahibi, la taghtarir bi tana'umi. فالعمر ينفد والنعيم يزول إذا حملت على القبور جنازة فعلم بأنك بعدها محمول يا صاحبي oh my friend, oh my companion, لا تغترر بتنعم. Do not deceive yourself with your present condition of comfort and luxury. Today you are young, tomorrow you will become old. Today you are healthy, tomorrow you will become sick. Today you are alive, tomorrow you will be dead. Do not deceive yourself. فَالْعُمْرُ يَنْفَدْ Your life will come to an end. And if you live for long, وَالْنَعِيمُ يَزُولُ There is that possibility that these blessings and bounties will leave you. إِذَا حَمَلْتَ عَلَى الْقُبُورِ جَنَازَةً When you carry somebody's janaza in the qabrastan, in the graveyard, then do not think to yourself that he is going. فَعَلَمْ بِأَنَّكَ بَعْدَهَا مَحْمُولُ Then make yourself believe that you will be carried after him. After him, you will be carried. If not immediately after him, then 1 month after him, 1 year after him, 10 years after him, 20 years after him. And it's possible that the next kafan that is ready in the mortuary of our masjid could be mine. The next grave that is dug in the graveyard could be mine. It could be yours. It's for this reason, when a janaza was passing, somebody said to Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, whose janaza is this? So Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, yours. Yours. So this person felt a bit unhappy that I'm asking a question that whose janaza is this? And Abu Darda is saying, it's your janaza. So Abu Darda said that if that makes you unhappy, then it is my janaza. If my saying it's your janaza makes you unhappy, then the answer is it's my janaza. What was he trying to say? He was trying to say, if this is janaza of Ibrahim or Ismail or Ahmad or Muhammad, what difference does it make to you? Alhamdulillah, he has gone with Iman. When seeing somebody else's janaza, we should remember our janaza. That what will happen to me when I go? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said that when people carry janaza and takes that dead person towards the qabrastan, then if that person is a person of piety, he says, qaddimuni, qaddimuni, take me quickly. Because that person has seen Jannah at the time of death. Because the malaika at the time of death have said, wabshiru bil jannati allati kuntum tu'adun. Look, we have come to take you. Look at that Jannah waiting for you.
So this janaza, when people carry this janaza, the dead body is given the ability to speak, and the dead body says to the people around it, Qaddimuni, Qaddimuni, take me quickly, take me quickly. Take me quickly and put me in the grave. It is for this reason, our deen requires that we bury the deceased as soon as possible. Why should we deprive the deceased from the bounties of Jannah? Qaddimuni, Qaddimuni. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, except for the humans and the jinns, every makhluk is able to hear this. Qaddimuni, Qaddimuni. And if the person is a sinful person, then he can also see the punishment that is waiting for him. So it screams. It screams and it says, Aina tadhabu nabi? Where are you taking me? Where are you taking me? Why are you taking me? Don't take me. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that this person, when he screams and he says, why are you taking me? Where are you taking me? There is so much fear in this person's voice that if the humans were able to hear this voice, then upon hearing his voice, they would become unconscious. So this person is going, worry about yourself, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. So friends, let us make a firm resolution that inshallah, if not on a daily basis, then at least once a week, we will take out 5 to 10 minutes to remember death. Please, make this promise to yourselves today. Every week, I will take out 5 to 10 minutes to remember death. Remember death. I will sit down in a corner. In seclusion in my home. In seclusion in the masjid somewhere. And I will think about death. That I am sleeping on the bed. Lying on the bed. I am sick. I am very sick. And Malakul Maut has come. And Malakul Maut is saying that I have come to take you. Allah is calling you. موت آہستہ آ کر یہ بولی اب چلو ساتھ میرے اے بھائی حکم رب سے تمہیں لینے آئی اب چلو ساتھ میرے اے بھائی ملک الموت is saying this to me. Come, I have come to take you. ساتھ جائے گی نہ مال و دولت ان کو ہو جائے گی تم سے نفرت ساتھ جائے گی نیکی برائی اب چلو ساتھ میرے اے بھائی. I have come to take you. Only good and evil will go with you. Nobody else will be able to go with you. Ja ke mitti mein sona padega. Takiya bistar bhi mitti ka hoga. Keede khayenge laash tumhari. Ab chalo saath mere e bhai. I will have to go and sleep on the soil, in the soil. No pillows, no mattresses. And the worms will eat my body. Malakul Maut is extracting my ruh. I do not want to go, but despite that he is taking my ruh out, extracting my ruh. I am dead, lying on the bed. People are announcing my death, telling each other that Salim has departed from this world. They are making preparation for my ghusl, for my burial. They are bathing me. They are shrouding. They are carrying me towards the Kabrastan. They are carrying me towards the grave. They have placed me in the grave. Think about yourself. Now I am in the grave. They are closing the grave. They have closed the grave. I am on my own now. Munkar Nakir are now asking me questions. The sur, the trumpet has been blown, and I have been resurrected from the grave again, and I am being presented to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think, I am crossing the pul sirat. Allah is questioning for everything that I have done. Once a week, take out 5 to 10 minutes and see how much change it will bring to your life, my friend. Once a week, do this. Number one. Number two, try to visit the graveyard once a week. If not, then once a month. And those of us who have our parents in the graveyard, relatives in the graveyard, our close ones in the graveyard, we must go once a week. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said in a hadith that a child, a son, if he goes to visit his father, his mother, every Friday, and recites Suratul Fatiha, Suratul Nas, Suratul Falaq, Suratul Ikhlas, and Suratul Takathur, Alhaqumut Takathur, Hatta Zurtumul Maqabir, every Friday. Then if the father or the mother have been hurt by this son, on the day of Qiyamah, he will be resurrected in such a way that the parents would have forgotten all the grief. We should go to our parents' grave, recite Surah Yasin, Suratul Mulk. And whilst benefiting the people in the graveyard, we should make dua then generally for everybody, whilst benefiting the people in the grave, we should look around us and see that so many people are sleeping here, but nobody wants to know them. Nobody is visiting them. There could be somebody here in this grave who has been lying in the grave from the time he has been buried 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and nobody has visited him till today. There could be somebody like that. And one day I will also be here. That is number two. Once a week, the meditation of death. Once a week, visit the graveyard. And number three, as a family, try to sit down and read books like Remembrance of Death. If not every day, once a week, 2 pages, 3 pages, as a whole family. And also sit in pious gathering in the masajid and worry about the hereafter. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change our lives. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq to always remember death, remember him, remember the hereafter. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us death with iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all, those who are still alive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them hidayah and tawfiq. And those who have gone away, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive their sins. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate their status in the qabr, in Jannat al-Firdaus. May Allah grant them the company of the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Salihin. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم احسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى اللهم إنا نسألك فعل الخيرات وترك المنكرات وحب المساكين وأن تغفر لنا وترحمنا اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم إني أعوذ بك من شر الشيطان وشركه اللهم إني أعوذ بك من شر نفسي ومن شر الشيطان وشركه اللهم إني أعوذ بك من شر نفسي ومن شر الشيطان وشركه اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم أذهب الباس رب الناس اشف أنت الشافي
اشفي أنت الشافي، اشفي أنت الشافي، لا شفاء إلا شفاءك، شفاء لا يغادر سقما ولا مرضا. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا، اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا، اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشايخنا ولأهلينا ولمحبينا ولمحسنينا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.